A New Way to Lead, Chapter 1, Fighting Words. Marcus could not imagine how on this third Saturday in April he could be any happier as he crossed the finish line at Tulsa's Riverside Park, covered head to toe in green, blue, gold, and pink powdered paint. The Tulsa Family Fest Fun Run is an annual celebration of health, happiness, and community spirit. Anna Marie Flores had come down from Springfield to run with his team representing Millennium Energy. Anna laughed and giggled as she jogged, skipped, and twirled, arms outstretched through the course. She slowed at each of the four color fun stations spaced along the course and took her time, squealing in delight as the volunteers covered her in the powdered shade of that station. If a prize had been given for the most paint coverage, head to toe, Anna and Marcus would have easily won. Everyone wanted to take their picture. In the last 6 months of seeing each other, Marcus had never seen her this playful, and without a doubt, he knew he loved her. If only they could spend more time together, he knew she would love him in the same way. Carl and Steve, the other two members of Marcus's running team, were equally doused in paint. When Marcus first heard about the fun run, he zeroed in the word run, thinking it was an actual race. So when they realized the run was more for fun and frolicking, and not a timed event, they decided they would instead win by being the most thoroughly painted team to cross the finish line. Never mind, it wasn't an official category. As far as they could tell, they were victorious. Carl and Steve worked at the company's Burns Flat Windfield. They had become good friends with Marcus and his team since Marcus had assumed leadership of the project. They had made the four-hour trip to work with the team for a couple of days in the lab and to take advantage of Keystone Lake nearby. Carl pulled his bass boat, and Marcus roped them into running with a promise of a backyard cookout. "Marcus! Marcus! Yoo-hoo, Marcus!" A high-pitched woman's voice called out from behind them. Everyone turned in unison to see who it was. "Marcus, I thought that was you. You remember me, right? Beverly? Beverly Trudeau, the corporate PR director?" Oh, yeah," Marcus half-lied, since he had never officially met her. "I got an email from you Monday about taking some pictures today for the Derrick," he recovered, the Derrick being the corporate online newsletter. "Right. Glad you remembered. Not everyone did. My assistant is still rounding them up. Nice to finally meet you in person. I've heard a lot about you recently." Beverly extended her hand, and Marcus accepted her handshake. "I'm sorry I had to miss Mr. Johnstone's visit to your lab last month when he announced the funding for all the wind projects. You really made the oil and gas side stand up and take notice." Marcus's presentation to the corporate council that resulted in Nelson Johnstone committing the resources to continue all the Millennium Project had bordered on inspired, according to his growing fan base. However, to some from the oil and gas side, it had been a sure bet that the wind energy projects would be abandoned since they had yet to generate sustainable profits. Word was that some managers already had eyes on the floor space Millennium's demise would free up. Nelson's announcement to the contrary stunned some of the senior managers who had never taken the alternative energy market seriously. "So I've been told," Marcus tried to downplay the compliment and redirect Beverly. "And this is Steve Reisner and Carl Westwood. They're part of the field team out at the Burns Flat Windfield." Then he turned to Anna, "and this is Anna Flores, my girlfriend from Springfield. I understand Anna is related to your supervisor. Did Aaron come out?" Beverly asked. "Sounds like you've done your homework." "No, she had other plans for the day," Marcus explained. "Well, I've asked my assistant to gather all the Johnstone employees at the finish line for a group picture. Will you join me over there?" Beverly nodded toward the arch designating the finish line. "And you too, Anna." The celebration concert was gathering momentum at the pavilion. A local rock band amped up the volume. Beverly shouted directions as she approached the group milling near the finish line. Obviously, these were the other Johnstone Energy Enterprise entries. His team was the sole entry from the Millennium Energy branch of the JEE family tree that included Johnstone Oil and Gas, America's second-largest independent energy company. Marcus did not know any of the participants personally, but some of them looked familiar. "Hey, Marcus, I didn't recognize you at first." Elliot Sloan surprised Marcus from the right flank as he came up from behind. Elliot had become Marcus's trusted mentor. Elliot seemed like an unlikely match since he was the VP for production for Johnstone Oil and Gas, But Aaron suggested him when Marcus asked for a mentor back in October to help him improve his supervisory skills. And Elliot seemed to come up with ideas out of the blue that helped Marcus see situations in a different light. Elliot's mentoring had a different feel to it than the hundreds of father-son talks he had had with his dad over the years. Marcus knew he could rely on Elliot to help him navigate Johnstone Energy, and he trusted his dad to help him navigate life. Marcus was thankful for the help on both fronts. Marcus had missed the regular personal contact with his dad, whose engineering firm had sent him to a field office in Vermont several years ago. But now, his parents had returned to the company's headquarters in Joplin full-time, and Marcus was looking forward to spending more time with them in the home where he grew up. In the spirit of the event, Elliot wore an event T-shirt, but he did not have even a smidgen of paint on him. "How'd you stay so clean?" Marcus greeted Elliot. "Didn't run. Got better sense than that. But Jana and the girls did." Elliot nodded in their direction among the group under the finish arch. "Come on, I'll introduce you." "Elliot, this is Anna Flores," Marcus half-shouted over the music as he put his hand on Anna's back and positioned her face-to-face with Elliot. "Marcus has told me so much about you," Elliot grinned. "It's nice to finally meet you. You look like you all really got into the spirit of the race." "Marcus is a kid at heart," Anna beamed, putting her arm around Marcus. "I think Beverly wants us to get this picture taken. I'll introduce you to my family when we're done," Elliot motioned to Beverly, who was trying to get everyone arranged. "Marcus, your team is obviously the most colorful. How about you four get in the middle, and we'll group the others around you," Beverly directed. Beverly snapped several shots and announced she had what she wanted. The group quickly dispersed, with most heading toward the pavilion for the concert and the refreshment vendors, Carl and Steve among them. Elliot brought his family to Marcus and Anna. "This is my wife Jana and my two stepdaughters, Nicole and Hannah." Jana stepped toward Marcus and gave him a one-armed hug. "We were so hoping to meet you, Marcus. Elliot's very proud of what you've done as a team supervisor. Anna, it seems like in the short time you've known Marcus, you've made quite an impression on him." "He talks a lot about Elliot, too. I know he appreciates the time and attention Elliot gives him," Anna returned the compliment. "Hey, listen, we got to run," Elliot interrupted. "The girls have to clean up and get to a party later on this evening." "I hope it's as easy to clean this stuff off as the promoters claim," Jana laughed and displayed her arms that were nearly as caked with paint as were Anna's and Marcus's. "Nice meeting you both." Marcus and Anna stood holding hands, facing the pavilion, taking in the music and the festivities. About that time, a burst of color shot up from the crowd and settled on everyone underneath. Marcus and Anna were just on the fringe. A little more color would scarcely show up on their caked skin and once white T-shirts. "I didn't realize this was going to be so much fun." Marcus looked down into Anna's almond eyes. "You're absolutely adorable in every conceivable way. On the list of great days of my life, this ranks at the top. Thanks for coming down. I know it wasn't easy to say no to your new client this weekend, being a congressional candidate and all." "Well, I'd already made this commitment to you, Marcus. Besides, you're a higher priority than Eric Greer anyway." Anna turned and embraced Marcus with both arms. A man's thin voice intruded into the moment. "So, you're Marcus Wynn," a lone man approached. He was one of the people Marcus recognized from the Johnstone group, but no matching name came to mind. Marcus and Anna released each other. Marcus turned to face the man who was now only a few paces from him. He also wore the event T-shirt, but looked like he had traveled the complete 5K circuit with minimal color damage. "Yes, yes, I'm Marcus Wynn." He wasn't sure to whom he spoke. "And you are?" "Jim Bob Danner." He finished his name exactly as he stopped squarely about 4 feet in front of Marcus, placing both hands on his hips, no hand of friendship extended. Marcus attempted cordiality. "So, you work at Johnstone too?" "Drilling." "You look familiar," Marcus continued. "Maybe I've seen you in the cafeteria." Jim Bob appeared to be about Marcus's age, certainly not 30 yet. He was stocky, a couple of inches shorter than Marcus. Red hair covered thick forearms that became straight wrists on their way to massive hands and fingers tipped with well-chewed fingernails. It looked like his hair was growing back from an experiment with shaving his head. It was at that light, fuzzy stage so that as the sun backlit the top of his head, he looked slightly out of focus. His ears were thick and fleshy. His flat nose with wide nostrils sat atop thin lips, and his cleft chin anchored around a head. Jim Bob's eyes squinted when he talked and opened when his mouth stopped moving. "Maybe I've noticed you sitting with that luscious blonde several times," Jim Bob couldn't help adding, as he glanced mischievously at Anna and eyed her quickly head to toe before looking back at Marcus. "Yeah, that would be Teresa," Marcus retorted. "I know," Jim cut in. "Everybody knows Teresa. She's a very friendly girl." Then looking back at Anna, "if you know what I mean." Marcus said nothing. He could see Anna glaring at Jim Bob. "Just wanted to get a close-up look at a real-life corporate celebrity. You cost me and my group a possible space expansion when you convinced Johnstone to save the wind projects. Everyone knows Johnstone's fascination with renewable energy is temporary. The real money is in oil and gas, always has been and will be for our lifetime. No reason to throw good money after bad when we can make better use of it in drilling." Marcus could feel the blood rushing to his head, and Anna's grip tightened. His first urge was to lash out, and the muscles in his legs were tensing. Jim Bob kept it up. "Make all the fancy presentations you want. Oil and gas is the real breadwinner here. Just saying it like it is." Marcus could feel the hairs on the back of his neck bristling and his jaw tensing, all the tells of his anger rising. Anna had never seen this side of him, the sudden rage, the urge to lash out. Marcus was sure the tips of his ears were flaming. They felt hot from the inside out. The last thing he needed to do was make a scene. Marcus leaned forward toward Jim Bob to answer the challenge. Anna squeezed his hand tighter. Marcus took the cue. He forced himself to glance over toward the side and release his confrontational stare. He attempted to disguise how he was trying to quell the percolating anger by taking a deep breath to relax the tension in his chest. In his mind, he could hear his supervisor, Aaron, saying, "Deflect and redirect, deflect and redirect. Don't get suckered into an unwinnable argument. Deflect and redirect." Marcus forced a half smile and met Jim Bob's eyes, which had widened again since he had stopped talking. "Well, sounds like a challenge to me, Jimmy," Marcus spoke calmly. "I can hardly wait to see what happens next." Jim Bob just smirked. "Hmph. The only thing that counts is profits. And all I see is a pretty boy playing in the wind, chasing windmills, so to speak." And with that volley, Jim Bob took a step back, looked Anna up and down again, turned, and swaggered into the crowd around the pavilion. Marcus stood and glared stone-faced at Jim Bob's back. Anna stepped around in front of Marcus and took his other hand. "Come on. He's just an arrogant bully. I see guys like him all the time." Anna tugged down on Marcus' hands to make him look down at her. "Don't let him ruin this lovely day. I'm proud of you for keeping your cool. Now let's go blow off some of this dust and head to Aaron's. Carl and Steve know where to find us." "Yeah, okay." Marcus smiled, looking into Anna's reassuring smile. But Marcus knew there were many other Jim Bobs rooting for Millennium Energy to fail. Anna took Marcus's hand, leading him toward the exit, as he stole a glance over his shoulder toward Jim Bob disappearing into the crowd. "Who's Teresa?" "Just a new friend on the oil and gas side." "Oh," Anna replied, sounding unconcerned. Worse yet, Marcus had accepted an invitation to make a presentation at the corporate management retreat about his team's turnaround. The treat was only a few weeks away. He feared the audience would not be friendly, and he was lost for what to say. Marcus realizes that his success is not appreciated by everyone, especially by those who have something to gain from his failure. How will Marcus sort through the experiences of his past 6 months and make a presentation to his company's leadership that will be worth listening to? Will his presentation add to his success or make him a laughingstock to his adversaries? In the end, what will Marcus say that will help him build trust and respect across his company and help him represent Millennium Energy in such a way to increase their stature in Johnstone Enterprises? Get your copy of A New Way to Lead. See what 6 principles Marcus singles out that helped him gain the respect of his team and of his organization. You can use these principles immediately at work, at home, or in your community to become more empowered.